الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نحمد الله ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون وقال تعالى في موضع آخر ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا الرسول الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama kiram, dear brothers and elders in Islam, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is that great majestic being who the entire creation exists only through his mercy and through his qudra, and such a being who is totally independent of the entire creation. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whom all things will return. And that is the being that will live forever, has been alive forever and will continue to live forever and cannot die. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one ayat of the Holy Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, and place your complete trust, put your complete reliance and trust upon that living being, that ever living being, la yamut, that does not die. We find that today man, because of his limited vision, because of his narrow vision and his limited time that he's on this earth, and what he sees around him, he tends to place his trust on those things that he sees around him. Yet, throughout the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that the things that are created are ephemeral, are short-lived, are temporary, and each and everything will eventually perish. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهُهُ, everything will perish except the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going back to this verse, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, and place your trust, place your reliance upon that ever-living being that cannot die. So we find that today people, we continuously find disappointment because we put our trust in things around us, things that are created. We put our trust in our families, in our friends, in society, in our businesses, in so many things, and yet each and every of these things have a limited period and eventually will perish, as the Holy Quran says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ, everything will perish. So we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day, after we've learned the bitter experiences of being disappointed, eventually we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the day of Jum'ah is of special significance for you and me, because it gives us a chance to reflect upon ourselves internally, to reflect upon ourselves locally, to reflect upon ourselves as an ummah nationally, and also globally, internationally. Let us start with looking at ourselves internally, locally. This is the first thing that we should consider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in this verse, which I recited in the very beginning, a very short ayat, which is the first ayat of Surah Al-Anbiya. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in this verse, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ, it has drawn closer for mankind, it has drawn nearer for mankind. And bear in mind, the word Allah ta'ala is using, اِقْتَرَبَ, is a madi siga, it is a past tense verb to indicate that the action has already happened. Yet we know that this has not happened yet. So let us go further. اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, It has drawn nearer for mankind their reckoning, their main and most important situation, the most important thing that will ever take place in the life of any human being. That is the reckoning, the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment. So Allah Ta'ala is referring to this incident. اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِدُونَ. It has drawn closer, it has drawn nearer for mankind, their reckoning, while they are in a state of heedlessness, while they are in a state of unmindfulness. One person is busy ready to go overseas for a holiday. Another person is busy getting ready for a nikah. Another person is busy chasing after a business deal. Another person is busy with his education requirements. And it goes on. Everybody is busy in his affairs, looking down, looking to the narrow extent of our life. This is the general condition of mankind. Allah Ta'ala is focusing our attention to this problem. But what is happening while we are engaged in this process that we are so engrossed, we are unmindful? Allah Ta'ala is saying, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ. It has drawn closer. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, that great event, that frightening event, that terrifying event is coming closer and closer and closer. And brothers, no matter who we are, whether we are white or black, brown or pink, South African, Russian or Chinese, whether we are street sweeper, whether we are Maulana, whether we are the president or the king of the country, each and every person, no matter who he is, whatever his background, whatever his bank balance, all of us will be equal on this great day. Can you imagine, brothers? All of us will be equal on this great day. This is why the Hajj is such a great lesson for us. We come from all different various backgrounds. We wear the same white sheet and we stand together on the plains of Arafat to remind us that we are equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this day of Qiyamah, we will all be standing equal, facing the same situation, that we are going to be called to account for our deeds. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using a past tense verb. Why did he use a past tense verb? For an event that is coming in the future. Ulama give two explanations. One is, first of all, to give us the understanding and to make us realize that this event of Qiyamah, of the reckoning, is an inevitable fact. It's a must. It must happen. There's no escaping it. There's no getting away from it. It's a certainty. That's the first explanation. The second explanation is this, that Qiyamah is so close, it is as if it has already happened. This is the second explanation. So much so even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained in several ahadith that ana wa sa'ati hakadha, I and the hour of Qiyamah are like this. And he raises his two fingers. It is explained in the hadith. He raises his two fingers like this to show that he is so close to Qiyamah. Already more than 1400 years has passed by. So when compared to the life of this world, time is very, very short. In fact, in another verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to this fact that وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةٍ. On the day when the hour arrives, when the day of judgment appears, then يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, the sinners, those who have broken the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says يُقْسِمُ, they will take an oath, they will swear by Allah, مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةٍ, that they did not remain on this earth except for 1 hour. Can we believe it, brothers? We are staying here for 40, 50, up to 80, 90 years. And yet when the hour comes, when the day of Qiyamah comes and we rise up from our graves, we will be so stunned at the swiftness of that time that we will begin to take an oath and we will say that we didn't stay on this earth except for 1 hour. Yet we are comfortable, we are complacent, we think that we have got plenty of time. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that this hour is drawing closer. This time is drawing closer while we are in a state of heedlessness. We are engrossed. So Allah Ta'ala is bringing our attention back to this point. We are coming to that event where all of us will stand equally. We will have to cast aside all our fancy ideas, our fancy hopes and dreams, and stand facing reality. The reality is that we are all going to answer for our deeds and actions. How do we prepare ourselves for this, brothers? So this is an internal reflection that we need to look at. So much so Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in a hadith that لا تزول قدم عبد حتى يسأل عن أربع. The two feet of the servant of Allah will not move from his court until he is questioned about four things. He will not be able to move from there unless and until he has been able to give answer for four questions. The first is, an malihi min ayna iktasabahu, about his wealth. How did he earn it? This is the first question. Why this is the first question? Because all our deeds, all our actions is dependent on earning of halal, of earning of halal rizq. So if that goes wrong, then everything else goes wrong. The entire foundation is shaky and rickety. So the first thing that we have to be conscious of, how do we earn our livelihood? Are we earning it through halal means, through the sweat of our own brow, through those means which Allah Ta'ala has allowed us? Or are we doing it in various ways which displeases Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Through, you know, B route and C route and whatever, containers, stolen containers, hijackings, you know, drug peddling, you name it, this is happening. So this is how we are earning, then this is how we have to answer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the first question is, how did we earn our wealth? And the second is, وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ, how did we spend the wealth? Not only are we going to be questioned how we earned it, but how we spent it. Did we spend it in fulfilling the lawful needs of our family and our own lawful needs? And thereafter the balance, we use it wisely in the cause of deen, to upkeep deen? Or did we use it extravagantly, fulfilling the vain desires of our family and spending it on those places which are forbidden by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So this is the second question. These are basic questions, but they will cover a very vast area. The third question is, وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ فِيمَا فَعَلَ, about his knowledge. How did he act upon his knowledge? I hear many people get deceived. They say, well, the less I know, the less problem I have. That's why I don't want to become an alim, because then I can get away with many things. That is not the understanding of this, brothers. It means that according to your situation, according to your position, the more and more you become responsible as far as knowledge is concerned. When a person is a youngster in school, he's responsible to know tahara and salah, and of course fasting. And as he gets in a better position, he becomes wealthy, now he's responsible to learn the laws of trade and transaction, and he's going to know about zakat, and he's going to know about hajj. And if he is in a position to get married, then he's going to learn the laws of talaq, and he's going to learn a lot of laws of nikah and talaq, and so on and so on. So as a person's position and situation increases, so he has to acquire the relevant knowledge, and he will be questioned about it. Talibul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslimatin. The seeking of knowledge is incumbent and obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female. So according to his situation. So no one can say, well, the less I know, the less problem for me. No. That is the third question. How he acted upon his knowledge. And the fourth one is, an umrihi fima afna, about his life. How did he spend it? Was most of his life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was most of his life in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So these are the four basic questions that every human being will have to answer. So we have to keep this verse in mind, that every second, every minute, we are coming closer and closer to that great day where all of us will be equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the account and to give the reckoning of our deeds. So this is a reflection internally. How well prepared are we for this event? We look into the Holy Quran, take the time out, even if it's for 10 minutes, read through the Holy Quran and see those ayats that speak about the reckoning, those verses that speak about the day of Qiyamah, those ayats that speak about Jahannam, those ayats that speak about Jannah. We should be reading at least 5-10 minutes every day, the English at least, to understand what is the message. Besides our tilawat in the Arabic language, which has also got its virtue. It's a polish for the heart, it is a dhikr. We should be doing that. We should be reading our daily portions of the Holy Quran on a regular basis. At the same time, we should be reading that amount, which will cause us to reflect upon our deeds, which will cause us to reflect upon our direction in life. This is very, very important. We see what is happening throughout the world today, how Muslims are facing calamities. We see what has happened in Turkey. And if we read the Holy Quran, we can see that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind us. We know the conditions in Turkey, how the Muslims have become so secularized. They have turned away from deen to the extent that now even women are going out into the streets to protest against hijab. Like that, many, many other things are against the deen. Few brothers went there recently, they came back and they told us that if you go into the masajids, the masjids are basically empty. 2-3 people, maximum 5 people in massive masjids. So do we not expect the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at this verse where Allah ta'ala says, أَفَ أَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَيَّأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Do the people of the towns and villages, do they feel safe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment will not come to them. During the night, while they are asleep, what happened? What time did that earthquake come, brothers? Are we aware? 3 o'clock, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, brothers. Look at the time it happened. Is this not in keeping with the verse of the Holy Quran? And there's 2-3 verses after this verse which I've just recited, where Allah Ta'ala constantly reminds us, do the people feel safe? Do they feel so complacent and so secure? They feel that Allah Ta'ala's punishment will not come when we are openly violating. So this is the message in this verse. We look at another place where Allah Ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Brothers, these are our brothers and sisters that have experienced these difficulties. We must make dua for them. We must ask Allah Ta'ala to give them hidayat. We should feel compassion for them. But at the same time, it is meant as an ibrah for us. But how do we see these situations? So this verse, Allah Ta'ala is saying, تَظَهْرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, that the calamities has appeared on the land and on the sea. Allah Ta'ala says, why? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, in order to make them taste some of the consequences of their deeds. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, in order that they may return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they may make tawbah and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at it in Cape Town. This was just something that happened very, very recently. And I only heard this morning from our neighbor that has got family based in Surrey Estate. And this was the thing that opened our eyes. That the tornado was from a red wind. Hadith has mentioned that if certain evils are among the community, then wait for the red winds. Look at the hadith, Rasulullah is warning us, wait for those red winds. And these type of corruptions and fasad and mischief will start to appear just before the time, before Qiyamah, before the major signs will appear. We will see all these things happening. So apparently this was a red wind that brought this, as the hadith has predicted. And they said that the sound that accompanied this red wind was absolutely terrifying. The sound was more terrifying than anything else. Can we believe it, brothers? At what time did this happen? It happened at Fajr time in Surrey Estate, which is 98% Muslim. And brothers, we're not here to find fault with the Muslims of the area. It is a lesson for us. We must make dua that Allah protect us. Because we are also in a similar situation. We've got so many social problems in our community. It is time for us to make amal bil ma'ruf and nahi bil munkar. But it's meant as a lesson for us. Those are our brothers and sisters also. We must have compassion for them. Make dua for them. But what is the situation? This is from a neighbor whose family is staying directly there. They said that there was just a handful of people for Fajr at that morning. And yet normally they have up to 1 to 2 subs. That particular morning it was a handful of people. And when this terrifying thing happened, those corrugated sheets were wrapped around the poles. That, you know, it is as if the wind came and selected homes. Not entire streets, selected homes were destroyed. Roofs were taken off. Even portion of the tiles of the masjid was affected. But the bottom thing was, how it affected the people. Will you believe it, brothers? Fajr, there was a handful. For Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, there was no place outside. In the rain, brothers were making salah, brothers. It was raining, they were making salah outside in the rain. Dhuhr, Asr and Maghrib and Abtul Isha. Can we see the effect? Can we see the message that Allah SWT is giving us? It is out of His mercy He is giving us His message. That do not turn your face away from this deen. Do not become neglectful. That we have to change. We have to make islah of ourselves. We all are weak. But at the same time we have to realize that Allah Ta'ala's stick is there. So these are the messages Allah Ta'ala is giving us. How much have we prepared for the event that is coming? So going on further, we are looking at ourselves locally. Now we have to understand our position globally. We know that the Ummah is in different situations throughout the world, different calamities, different problems. We have to be aware of the problems facing the Ummah. One of the things that we need to be also careful about, and this is borne out by the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in spite of being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was also a khalifatullah. He was a wali. He was a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is also an effort which you have to strive for, to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ummah has to reach two darajats. One is to become a wali of Allah. You know, when we devote ourselves to His worship, that is on His place. We have to do that. We have to reach that stage. We have to strive for that level. The second effort which we tend to overlook and we tend to neglect and forget is we also have to be khalifatullah. Allah ta'ala has mentioned this. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Indeed, I will place on the earth a khalifa. Understand the meaning of khalifa. The word khalifa means الَّذِي يَخْلُفُ غَيْرَهُ وَيَنُوبُ مَنَابَهُ. The one who stands in place of someone else and he deputizes on behalf of that person. So we are Khalifatullah. We are the deputy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we have to ensure and we have to make sure certain that we implement the complete divine system of Sharia. We should not be complacent and content that as long as we are practicing our ibadat in our masjid, we don't have to worry about the conditions around us. Khalifatullah ensures the entire system of deen operates. This is why Allah Ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the deen of Islam, and is mentioned in various ayats that huwa alladhi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa dinil haqq liyudhhirahu ala ad-din kulli walau kariha al-kafirun. Allah Ta'ala says he is the one who has sent his messenger with huda, with guidance, wa dinil haqq, and the religion of truth. For what reason? For what purpose? لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. In order that this deen must prevail, this deen must dominate, this deen must supersede. It did not come to live side by side with false religions. It cannot. Because haq is such. الْإِسْلَامُ يَعْلُوا وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. That Islam, it must be high. It cannot tolerate being low. It has to be high. Because everything else that is false has to be banished. So Allah Ta'ala says, لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. In order that his deen must prevail, وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even though the mushriks and the kafirs may dislike it, and they are going to dislike it, they will oppose it. But in spite of all this, this deen has to prevail. And it will not happen unless me and you play the role of Khalifatullah. We have to understand that's a second daraja that we have to strive for, to be Khalifatullah fil ard. We have to ensure that Allah's divine system prevails. Not that we allow and tolerate all these batils and all these vices becoming legalized and the Muslim is feeling comfortable. Yet we are enjoying the title Khaira Ummah, the best of people. So internationally, what is happening? They're using the term globalization, new world order. Do we understand the full implications of globalization? Do we understand the full implication of the new world order? The new world order and the term globalization is a front, it's a euphemism, it's a nice sounding word to cover up their real agenda. The real agenda is a one world government, which is founded on the creed of Zionism, which will be controlled by the Zionist Jews based in Jerusalem. And we will understand why they are so rigid in holding on to Jerusalem. It is a very strategic city. It is linked to three major religions of the world. The group that controls Jerusalem basically has a better opportunity to control the world. So the Jews have got a vice grip on Jerusalem because they plan to make that the capital of the one world government. And this millennium thing that they are promoting, it is all part of their plan to announce a one world government. These are their plans. What will actually happen? Only Allah Ta'ala knows. But these are their plans. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we study his example, his seerah, he was the Qudwatun Hasana, we find that he was always aware of the plans of the kuffar. Study the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was always ahead and he always stopped them in their tracks before they were able to get too far. See the Roman Empire, see the Quraysh and the Battle of Khandaq. How he was able to protect himself from their plans, because he always had information being gathered. We should realize that this globalization is a great threat for the Muslim Ummah. But now the other thing that they're moving towards is to push this interfaith dialogue between all different religions. And this conference is coming off in Cape Town at the end of the year in December. Many scholars from different religions have been invited to attend, even top scholars of the Islamic world. But if we don't know the hidden agenda that they want to push these different religions to form a one world religion, it sounds science fiction. It sounds impossible. But read the documentation, read the books which their intellectuals and their intelligentsia are preparing in universities, and see how they are grooming and schooling and preparing the minds of the intellectuals to push the world into this framework. They're speaking of global village, that this world is very small because of communications and transport. So we need a one world operation. The governments are corrupt and the governments are bankrupt and so on and so on. And your people are fighting internally and you've got so many civil wars. So this is the reason why you need a one world government. They're going to use all these different types of programming and propaganda to get you to accept this. The propaganda is so subtle, we will not realize it. End of the day, they will say, look, we'd rather stop all this interfighting and all these problems. We need a one world government that will solve all our problems. And we will accept it because we'll be in so much of chaos. But the hidden agenda we do not see. We need to understand, brothers, where we are heading towards. We're heading to a time of great fitna. So let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make tawbah. Let us improve our lives. Let us support and encourage and assist each other with love and sabr, inshallah. But we need to move. We need to start planning, and we need to get ourselves aware what is actually happening. Study what is really happening as far as globalization is concerned, and you'll see the hidden hand. One more thing, that you find that there's mass killings taking place at schools and at campuses and so on. This is because of video games. This is because of video games. Look at the games that are being played in the arcade. It's all to do with violence. And at the right time, at the right situation, it can be triggered off, and these people will go, these youngsters will go off their head, and they'll do exactly what they've been playing for so many years. A youngster of 2 years old, there's an article in the paper which I've got the cutting of. He can't even walk properly. He doesn't know any other word. The only word he knows is die. Why? He's playing with video games 5 to 6 hours every day. He doesn't want to even leave his room. He's so engrossed. He's become an addict to video games. We don't see it. But this is being programmed by the same shaitans that are planning to bring about the one world government. The details are too vast, brothers. But be aware, this video games has got a very, very disastrous effect on the minds of our youth. We need to be aware of that. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the ummah, guides us, and puts us on the path which will earn his pleasure and keep us away from his wrath. That is just one announcement, that inshallah there will be a collection for cash and kind for the disaster that took place in Cape Town. And this will be done by the Africa Muslim Agency together with ISRA. So brothers will be outside to collect whatever you would like to contribute, inshallah. Inshallah, we should open our hearts. With our Muslim brothers and sisters, we should try and assist them, inshallah. Jazakumullah.